Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f- So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm John McEnroe.
I'm Bjorn Borg.
This is Martina Navratilova.
I'm Mats Wilander.
I'm Stan Wawrinka.
I'm Leighton Hewitt.
I'm Andy Murray.
And you're listening to the Tennis Podcast.
Well, hello and welcome to the Tennis Podcast, brought to you in association with The Telegraph. Catherine Whittaker, Simon Briggs from The Telegraph and myself come to you from Flushing Meadows just after the women's final, an absolutely pulsating women's final. And guess what? We're on the move. Catherine is going to have to keep her wits about her to avoid walking into another tree. Simon Briggs, you haven't done the walk and talk before, but we haven't spoken to you for a few days. First of all, what a women's final that was. That's one of the better ones we've had in a long time.
Yeah, actually, I was thinking that this year, the women's finals at the Slams have been better than the men's finals, generally. You know, the Kerber-Williams in Melbourne was a great start. And we had two straight sets, but strong matches in the meantime. And then another excellent Kerber three-setter here. So I think they've actually probably been better overall. We'll see how Djokovic and Wawrinka stack up tomorrow. But I think the women have been doing some great stuff in this year's Grand Slam finals.
One of our colleagues, Leo Schlink from one of the Australian news outlets, excellent tennis writer from Australia, tweeted just about 10 minutes ago to remind everybody how Angelique Kerber was match point down against Misaki Doi in the first round of the Australian Open. And here she is, 8 months older, holding two Grand Slam singles titles. She was in the final of Wimbledon, and she got an Olympic silver medal, and she's world number one. It's pretty extraordinary, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like a sliding doors moment, isn't it? You could go back, you know, you could make a film about the alternate reality of Angelique Kerber's life. Maybe she would still have gone on to win this one. She wouldn't have gone on to win the Australian Open if she hadn't saved that match point. But yeah, what can you say? It is just a fascinating twist in the tale. This is like the Tennis Podcast meets the Krypton Factor. I'm so anxious about walking into.
Well, here's your tree coming up, Catherine. Careful. Oh, she's got round it this time. Simon Briggs, the way that match went as well was a great contrast in styles, wasn't it? I think Angelique Kerber is the best is brought out of her when she's up against a big hitter, and Pliskova didn't let herself down in that match.
Yeah, and Pliskova will be an important part of the tour, we hope, in coming months and years, because, you know, we haven't seen anybody really take it on with a serve for a long time and sort of play first strike tennis, come to the net, serve and volley. These are really vibrant tactics. You know, a lot of baseline grinding on the WTA tour with very flat backhands and not a lot of shape in terms of the way the rallies sometimes go, but when Pliskova plays, she brings a different texture, different dynamics. So that was one of the strengths of the match. In fact, she kind of played the better tennis in some ways, but in the end, the conditions were so humid, so sultry, that I think she ran out of gas. If it had been a cooler night or cooler day, if it had been a bit sort of maybe a little bit of drizzle in the air or something to cool everything down, I think she might have won.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that that battle, and I think that it was a really pretty full crowd. I mean, there were only a few seats vacant, and I think that Angelique Kerber has probably surprised a lot of people this year, but she's probably won a lot of people over as well, because it all came gushing out in the aftermath, Catherine. I mean, I think she kept it all bottled up a little bit after actually knowing she was going to become number one. I think it was as though she couldn't really afford to let herself think about that ahead of the final.
Yeah, I think it was a bit like when Serena went out last year. I heard lots of murmurings last year in this, no one's going to show up for the women's final if Serena's not in it, and it's such an anticlimax and all the rest of it. And actually, it's not the fairy tale story that was scripted, but it's just a different, perhaps not fairy tale story, but certainly a very intriguing one.
Well, there's
one.
Your tree, Catherine. I got it wrong earlier. That is actually, God, it's a big one. I'm glad you didn't walk into that. Sorry, carry on.
I'm struggling to be able to add really to what was so visible and palpable on the court. You know, she's worked so hard for it. I know that's an enormous cliche, but she just through hard work has transformed herself from a solid established top 10 player into the best player in the world, and that's an extraordinary feat, and should be an inspiration to every woman in the top, I don't know, 30, 40, 50.
It is a funny old game she plays, though, isn't it? I mean, technically, you wouldn't use her as a model. That serve is definitely by no means technically correct, and is a bit of a liability, actually, because she doesn't get much purchase on it. But the weird one is the forehand, which is really effective. But again, it doesn't look right, does it? She finds herself often in a position going up the line for a winner, and she's so accurate with it, and yet the shapes that she makes when she hits it, crikey, they're messy. And somehow she just grooved it to the point where she has great control, great belief, and it shows that if your mind is in the right place, if you put the work in, the technique, it may be not quite the be-all and end-all we think it is.
Got to get you two on a bus because you've both got dinners to go to. It's the end of the tournament, lots of celebrations, all that, just the men's final to go. The doubles final today, another victory for Jamie Murray and Bruno Suarez. Really impressive win today. They were good.
Yeah, they got to 2-2, I think, and after that they won 7 games in a row, which in doubles, where the server is probably stacked more than in singles, that's a pretty extraordinary thing to, what was it, break 3 times in a row. Bruno Suarez is actually the best player on the court today. Jamie had been the best player in the semi-final when they beat the French number ones, Mahou and Herbert, but today Suarez, different league. You said he was seeing the ball huge. Jamie was able to swat flies at the net, as he said, just clean up on all these easy balls that Suarez was creating with his incredible returns. So, great win, two Grand Slams. So, we've had the doubles, men's doubles, same as in Australia. We've had the women's singles, same as in Australia. So, maybe good omen for Novak tomorrow.
Yeah, indeed. 2 more for you, Simon, then I'll let you get on the bus. First of all, what went wrong with your Andy Murray prediction? And second of all, what's going to happen tomorrow in the men's singles final?
That gong went wrong with my Andy Murray prediction. He was totally taken out by the PA system. I genuinely believe he would have won that match if that had not happened, because Nishikori was going to lose that point, well, 3 times out of 4. Break point down. Andy Murray break up in the 4th. A lot of momentum. And it did his head in, and he lost the next 7 games. So I genuinely think that was a turning point.
And prediction for tomorrow?
Novak in 4.
Okay, Catherine Whittaker is going to get on this bus. Simon Briggs is going to go and get on that bus. Catherine Whittaker is running, and Catherine is going to tell us who's going to win the men's final.
There's no more seats. There's no more seats.
I can see seats right here. There's a seat right there.
Coming up. They got the seats right there.
All my colleagues are on this bus.
There's a seat right there, mate.
See, look, he's moving in. There's no more seats. Believe me, I just put the last 6 people on there.
I'm looking at a seat.
Miss, there's no more. There's no more.
There's no more seats. It's full.
And the good news is, everybody, Catherine Whittaker has made it onto the bus after a big negotiation. She has found a seat. She is on safely. Don't worry, folks. The nasty man outside the bus has let Catherine Whittaker from Eurosport onto the bus, so all is well that ends well. And what else have we got to talk to you as I walk back to Flushing Meadows to carry on work, because the night never ends for me, David Law, on the Tennis Podcast, of course. Well, the men's singles final, I don't even know what Catherine thinks is going to happen in that now, do I really? But I think we're in for another absolute classic, you know, between Stan Wawrinka and Novak Djokovic. I would say that Djokovic against Wawrinka in the Australian Open when was it, about 4 years ago, 5 years ago, something like that, one of the best matches I've ever seen in my life. I think the following year they faced each other and the result was turned over. And what I'm referring to was about 15-13 to Djokovic in the fifth. It was what really announced Wawrinka onto the world stage. It made us all just love the guy, get excited about what he offered. And the year after, when Boris Becker, in fact, came on board, is the moment that it finally turned around for Wawrinka, and he managed to go all the way. So, yeah, wonderful sight that was. This one, I mean, we've obviously got that French Open final to consider as well that they had, which Wawrinka won with blistering tennis after going a set down. This one, on a hard court, a quick hard court, Djokovic has been to the final seven times. This is the first time for Wawrinka. I think if Wawrinka can keep it close, he has a real chance. I mean, you never quite know what he's going to come up with in a match. He can start slow. He can be erratic. Equally, there are question marks over Djokovic. Still, for me, even though I think he's playing well, he still isn't playing Novak Djokovic well, in my opinion. I think overall, got to pick a Djokovic win just based on experience. I'd probably say four sets, could well be five, and it could well be Wawrinka in five, but I'll go Djokovic in four, and, you know, without a great deal of confidence. But anyway, cracking day of tennis on women's finals day. I thought Angelique Kerber's fight back against Pliskova was quite superb. When she'd gone a break down, I thought Pliskova showed great guts and brilliance to show what she's got. I love the fact that she didn't freeze out there, that she found her best stuff, and there were some amazing exchanges, and it was a real credit to the sport of tennis to see a tussle like that in the Grand Slam singles final. So well done to both of them, and congratulations to Angelique Kerber, second time this year a Grand Slam champion. That's about it from us here on the Tennis Podcast, brought to you in association with The Telegraph. We'll try to bring you that elusive Periscope chat tomorrow if we can, on Sunday, finals day. I'm going to try and have a word with Catherine to see if we can do that about 11 o'clock in the morning local time. So 11 o'clock New York time, 4 o'clock UK time. Whether we'll be able to, I don't know. I know Catherine's got to do some filming for Eurosport and so forth, but that's what we're going to try and do. So we'll let you know on Twitter @tennispodcast. Do keep across that. Do follow us on there if you can, and leave us a review on iTunes if you've liked what you've heard over the last couple of weeks. It really does help other people to get to know the show. And we've done, this will be our 251st show, and we've had over 2 million downloads, which blows us away, I have to say. And well, we're glad that so many people seem to enjoy it, and we certainly enjoy bringing them to you. So thanks a lot. Hope you've enjoyed the tennis. We'll speak to you tomorrow. Ooh, listeners, small addendum. Just had a text from Catherine Whittaker, who says she was going to go for Djokovic in four until she saw Mats Wilander, seven-time Grand Slam champion, who reckons that Wawrinka will win in five sets. And Catherine reckons she can't go against Mats Wilander. So, Catherine's going five sets for Wawrinka. Mats Wilander's going five sets for Wawrinka. I think Simon Briggs said four sets for Djokovic, which is same as me. Anyway, now we really are done. We'll speak to you soon.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.